Welcome to Transforming Your Future Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Mr. Fox Meyer. Fox, won't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. Some days, here comes thunder and a hurricane. Test to see what's in your veins. Stop. You're not inferior, you're an all-star on the interior. Your character is your heart, and with your grit, you'll make your mark. You respond, you don't react. Again, it's your grit that keeps you intact. As the rain pours down, I'll spread the news. These storms make trees take deeper roots. My name's Fox Meyer. I'm a speaker, teacher, author, coach, and songwriter. And I want to share with you today stories of people doing amazing things around the world. And so to let you know that you can do these amazing things, you are as capable as these people. And when you do these things, you will surely transform your future and transform yourself into the person that you want to be. The first story I want to share today is that of Diane Van Deren. Growing up, Diane was a five-star athlete. She could do it all and do it all very well athletically. But beginning at age 28, she suffered a series of epileptic seizures that hampered her organizational skills. And so she lost her ability to track time. Instead of wallowing in self-pity, she turned her greatest weakness into her greatest strength. You see, when she runs, she has no idea how long she's been running. Minutes turn into hours, hours turn into days, and days turn into weeks. She has become one of the world's best long-distance runners. And when I mean long distance, we're talking about 50 days straight worth of running. I read recently that on average, during a race, she ran 45 miles per day. All in all, what Diane has stopped doing, the only thing she has stopped doing, is quitting. I could have, I should have, I might have. If this, then I would have. This hang up, that hang up, screw it. I'm never going to make it. Rise, you will achieve. Yes, you do believe. Like her people, it's time. You are done quitting. Next is the story of Dewey Bozella. Dewey was a man that was jailed for 32 years for a crime he didn't commit. But again, like Diane, he didn't wallow in self-pity. While incarcerated, while in jail, he got an undergraduate degree. He was married. He wrote numerous letters to people proclaiming his innocence. And he pursued his passion, his peace, boxing. On a rainy day in 2009, Dewey was acquitted of all charges. And when asked about how the case, his case was handled, he said, "I'm going to let it go because if I don't, I'm not going to be able to achieve all of the things that I want to." Right then and there, he taught us, and certainly me, the greatest lesson of all to transform your future, which is forgiveness. Blessed to have lived this life longer than I could have ever thought. Humbled to have felt a range of emotions, happy, sad, surprised, and distraught. I've walked tall, I've had my tail between my legs, and my pride has been shattered. I know as long as I'm around, things are going to happen. Been advised by friends and family over and over again that life, well, it's a series of fleeting moments, flashes in the pan. So keep calm, don't worry, and fill your mind with peace and assurance. Pick and choose your battles. Sometimes go with the currents. You see, life can be marked by ups, downs, and incessant jealousies. But forgiveness is the one thing that gets the goat of your enemies. When you are bruised and you are battered, they will all be water under the bridge, but not with a snap of the fingers, because it does take time to forgive. To get to the finish line, go by fast, but please row slowly. And always keep your heart and mind the spirit of the holy. Affirm, affirm, and affirm positive outcomes at the beginning of each day. Do what you do, no matter what your detractors say. As Dr. Peel said, nothing is too good to be true. The sun rises, you levitate, and you're born again anew. Again, life is marked by ups, downs, and incessant jealousies. But forgiveness is the one thing that gets the goat of your enemies. When you are bruised and you are battered, it will all be water under the bridge, but not with a snap of the fingers. To transform your future, remember, it takes time to forgive. Next is the story of James Hark. I call him Jimmy because he was my student growing up in Whippany, New Jersey. Jimmy contracted an autoimmune disease that constantly throughout his life threatened his ability to breathe. Pollen, dust, ragweed, they're all his enemy. And I have seen his body inflate and deflate more times than I could possibly count. But Jimmy fights back. He brings the heat. His disease is what is in trouble. And in the ultimate irony, a few short years ago, Jimmy was certified to become an EMT. And you can bet your bottom dollar he knows how it feels on the other side of that coin. And to this day, again, Jimmy just keeps bringing the heat. Every day, minute, second, passing hour, you're going at it all right, hitting all your marks, morning, evening, and night. Through sweat, pain, torture, and agony, you bring the heat on the road to who you want to be. Every task on high alert, never bored, your next set, that's your reward. And so again, to transform your future, just keep bringing the heat. Next is a story of Will Power Burton from Fairdale, Kentucky. Will, like me, is a kid growing up with cerebral palsy. He's very competitive, but he was tired of getting second place trophies and trophies for just participating in an activity. So as he entered high school, he joined the wrestling team. And he worked and worked and worked. And late in his senior year, Will, a kid who is unable to walk, okay, without some help, won his first wrestling match. How did he do it? Time, elbow grease, pride. Pride, as said to me by Coach Storm, pride should grow in you from the day you were born. Pride, without question, it's all personal. Pride, omnipresent and eternal. Pride, for all your actions, you are responsible. Pride, in doing what you say, have credibility. Pride, and it begins with a consistent effort. Pride, a lack of it, you will mourn. Pride, so like Will, people, right now, today, take the bull by the horns. We have Charlotte Brown. Growing up in Texas, and for her high school team, she was a champion and continues to be a champion pole vaulter. Charlotte Brown is legally blind. As she says, take a coffee stirrer, hold it up right to your eye and look through it, and make that image very blurry. That's her sight. But you see, her sight was no match for her grit and will. She has broken many Texas state records while pole vaulting and is now pole vaulting for Purdue University in Indiana. She just keeps working, man. Look in the mirror and what do I see? It's the big I, it's integrity. I see you working, man, that's for sure. And you go beyond the beyond and you want more. Every misstep, I'm sure, you know I'll see it. But I know you. I trust you. I know you'll correct it. Goals can be set, people, and they can be adjusted. I see you working, so never let your morale get busted. I see you working, man. Erase the norm and create new limits. I see you working. Reach for the impossible, people, and go get it. We also have Isaiah Bird. Isaiah Bird, 9 years old now, growing up in Long Beach, New York. Isaiah is a spectacular wrestler. Isaiah has no legs, but as he says, having no legs gives him a huge advantage. It is very hard to bring him down. How about that for focusing on something that you can do and not dwelling on what you don't have? Hello. As I said before, I'm Fox Buyer. I want to share with you my story. And again, take my story, use it, and realize that to transform your future, you are more powerful than you could possibly imagine. This is a little bit about what I go through during a day. I'm a kid, a guy, a dude, a man, 38 years old, with cerebral palsy. As I approach the entrance of the school building, I see myself in the door's reflection. And I am amazed that no matter how old I get, I'm a man, 5'8" tall, and I have never bought a pair of pants that actually fit me. I open the door for a couple of female colleagues, and I am amazed at how many bags they're carrying. You see, for me, walking without anything is a conscious act of will. And I know that the less I have, the more worry-free I am. I enter the school building, and I see so many students trying to be cool. And I know in this moment that regardless of what curriculum I am ordered to teach, that my main job is to make my students understand that from the moment they were conceived, like you, they were genetically designed to be different. So why on earth would you try to act like somebody you're not? Are you trying to stand out? Sure, your twin is out there, no doubt. They wear what you wear and they do what you do, your carbon copy. Nothing new. But let me ask you this. Do they have your tone, your heartbeat, your mission? Remember, it is impossible to measure what lies within. With so many similar variables, remember how you are made. Have no fear, people. Your individuality is saved. I pass the auditorium of the school where I'm a Spanish teacher, and I look in it. I know the auditorium was a place where in the 7th grade I tripped and I fell while chasing around a girl that I had a crush on at the time. This makes me look at my hands. I look at my hands and I think of my therapists growing up, Kathy, Debbie, Jose, Mrs. Shumler. You see, they were geniuses. They understood that as a kid growing up with CP, I was going to fall every single day of my life. So for me, it was imperative that I get my hands out in front of my body as I was falling, because 95% of my falls over time are forward. And throughout time, my hands have been there for me. In 1997, when I threw out the ceremonial first pitch to a New York Yankees game, I fell on the top step of the dugout, forward. My hands were there. In the fall of that year, in August of 1997, as a freshman at the University of South Carolina, while walking around with my friend Brett, I fell forward as he was inviting me to his family's house for Thanksgiving dinner. And my hands were there. During game one of the 2002 College World Series, I fell during the player introductions, and my hands were there. I look at my hands, and you can look at yours, and I realize that my life and yours is not about not trying to fall every day. It's about always trying to get back up. And realize this, your life and mine are less about pain and more about beauty. I open the door to my classroom for the first time this day. And the first thing that I see in my eye's path are wires, entangled wires and crumbs. I chuckle for a second and think of my dad. You see, for 17 years, Dad worked in the fire protection business. And he has told me time and time again throughout time that the number one cause of kitchen fires is, in fact, entangled wires and crumbs. I look out onto a baseball field, and I think back to 1995, my sophomore year of high school, and I'm playing right field at a JV baseball game. A fire burned in me. I had a fire to pitch, and I wanted to do it every day. That helped me this day because it was so cold outside that if I stopped moving, I wouldn't be able to move at all. Well, I got my wish in the fifth inning of this game when Coach Irvin waved me in to pitch from right field. Only one small problem, and it had nothing to do with my entangled gait. You see, because of the cold temperatures, both my hands were frozen into fists, and I was having a hard time keeping my glove on my right hand. Well, Coach Irvin gave me the ball. I walked over to our third baseman, my friend Luke, and said, "Luke, I can't keep my glove on my right hand." And for a minute, he helped me try to jiggle the glove onto my hand. But I had a fire to pitch. It might be hard to spot talent, but it's harder to spot confidence. Those who have the it, that toughness in abundance, tell me, who are the ones from when they wake up? It's not about their speed, their power, or their agility. It is their mental makeup that we marvel at with such humility. They're at their best when they feel their worst, never they moan, cry, or pout. Their it is their uncontrollable thirst. It's about their it, they have no doubt. Ante up, the chips are down, they got him one time, and they are lucky. Next time around, he's the goods, he's the money. People realize this, to transform your future, the it is all in your attitude. The bell rings. First period begins. As my students walk in, I begin to greet them. I think about how much I want to trade my age for theirs. With one small stipulation, I would not want to be as dumb as I was when I was their age. Sophomore year of high school, Mrs. Brockett's history class. I can picture myself raising my hand and being excused to use the quote unquote restroom. Well, I use this time to go to my friend Aaron's locker and turn the dial 7, 17, 24, and open it just so I can go into his wallet and steal $7 so I can have lunch from the school cafeteria. Retrospect, it always tells the truth. Retrospect, now I see clearly my youth. Retrospect, I was young and I was dumb. Retrospect, or just a kid having fun. Retrospect, Mom and Dad, this place, I'm sick of it. Mom and Dad, you're right. Retrospect, now I miss it. Retrospect, time goes by way too fast. Retrospect, I am so glad to still have a past. Class begins. I am a grammarian at heart. It's all about verbs, adverbs, direct object pronouns, indirect object pronouns. But again, I realize this kind of thing is not for everybody. And in fact, at this very moment, this day, it's not working for anybody. We are all on our phones. We're all part of this technology revolution. But let me ask you this question. What good does it do while, if you're a student in class, you Snapchat with someone for the 100th day in a row? Because you do that, you don't know your classmate's name to your left or to your right or in front of you or behind you. Cell phones, tablets, and notebooks took the world so forcefully it shook. And with all these new technologies to the world, we're born more. Bad apologies. Wi-Fi might connect and tie, but it so too began the great divide. Social media is a brilliant disguise, but anybody with a soul can read between the lines. Cell phones, tablets, and notebooks took the world so forcefully it shook. With all these new technologies to the world, were born more bad apologies. The bell rings. It's the end of the school day. And even though it's the end of the school day, my work is far from done. I see pens, pencils, and papers scattered all over the place in my eyes' path. And as I clean up my room, I picture it spotless. I walk down the hallways and I see an accounting class with paper neatly piled and wish it was my room. I lock the door to my room and exit. But just before I do, I'm tapped on the shoulder by a student and says, "Hey, Prof, I read your book in the library today. I really liked it. I think I'm going to buy a copy." Just when you think, and I've given up all hope, I look into the eyes of a person who's the reason I am still a teacher. I get into my car to leave, and the first thing that happens is my knees draw closer and closer together. CP is relentless. When it pushes, I pull. When I pull, it pushes. The truth of the matter is, I have never put the amount of effort into my therapy as I should have. Recently, when I met up with my therapist, Kathy, after 25 years, I told her this. She said, "Fox, you hated me." I didn't hate her. I hated the situation. I can picture myself at therapy, standing in front of a mirror with curled toes and arched feet. The fact of the matter is, you could fit a matchbox car under my foot while I'm standing up. And I can't stand it when I see people just slip their shoes on while they're standing up, because I can't do that. That's another reason why I hate airports. But here's the bottom line, people. You can take all this pressure and let it burst your pipes, or you can use it to transform your future and build a diamond. I'm that annoying cough that'll make you sick, I'll piss you off, and I'll make you sick. I'll test your will and your character. I'm that weighted test that truly matters. I will turn a 20-minute walk in the sun into a second-to-second fog-ridden manhunt. Hello, I'm adversity, and I introduce a person to himself. Again, I'm Fox Beyer, teacher, author, speaker, coach, songwriter. If you enjoyed what you heard today, I want to make this offer to you. Please go on to my website, send me a message through my email, fox@foxbeyer.com. Again, the website, foxbeyer.com, foxbeyer.com, and email fox@foxbeyer.com, fox@foxbeyer.com. And I would be happy to send you a free copy of my book of motivational poetry called Letter Kindling, Igniting, Inspiring, and Evoking the Fire Within. And also, I would like to offer my speaking services to you. If there are people in your organization that you think I could help, please contact me through my website. Again, that's foxbeyer.com, foxbeyer.com. And I encourage you all to continue to transform your life and to live it without self-pity. Tanya, back to you.